Daedalus and Icarus by Ovid. Daedalus, in the meantime, hating Crete and his long exile, and having been touched by the love of his birthplace, had been closed in by the sea. He said, "Although Minos obstructs the land and waves, the sky certainly lies open. We will fly that way. Minos may possess everything, but he does not possess the air." He spoke, and sends down his mind into unknown arts, and makes new nature. For he puts feathers in a row, beginning with the littlest, and following the long by the shorter, so that you may think that it has grown on an incline. The rustic pipe long ago rises with the uneven reed. Then he binds the middle feathers with thread, and the lower feathers with wax, and then bends what he has created as to mimic that of a true bird. Together with his father, the boy Icarus was standing, unaware he was facing danger. Now, with a beaming face, kept on capturing the feathers, which the moving air has moved. With his thumb now kept softening the yellow wax, and with his play he kept interrupting the marvelous work of his father. After the finishing touch had been placed on the work, the craftsman balanced his body in twin wings and suspended his body in the open air. "I warn you to travel in the middle course, Icarus. If too low, the waves may weigh down your wings. If you fly too high, the fires will scorch your wings. Stay between both. I order you not to look at Buton or Helike or the drawn sword of Orion. Seize the road with me as your guide." He hands over at the same time the rules of flying and fits the unknown wings on his shoulders. Between the work and warnings, the old cheeks grew wet and fatherly hands trembled. He gave kisses to his son not to be repeated, and having lifted himself up on his wings, he flies before and he fears for his comrade. Just as a bird who has led forth a tender offspring from a high nest into the air, and encourages him to follow and instructs him in the destructive arts, and he moves himself and looks back at the wings of his son. There, someone, while catching fish with a trembling rod, either a shepherd with his staff or a plowman leaning on a plow, saw them and were stunned. And they who were able to snatch the sky, he believed were gods. And now Juno's Samos was on the left side, for Delos and Paros had been left behind, and on the right was Labynthos and Calymne, rich in honey, when the boy began to rejoice in his bold flight, and he deserted his leader, and attracted by a desire for the sky, he took his path higher. The vicinity of the sun softens the fragrant wax. The chains of the feathers, the waxes had melted. He shakes his bare arms, and lacking oarage, he takes up no air. And his face, shouting his father's name, is swept up in the blue sea, which takes its name from him. But the unlucky father, no longer a father, said, "Icarus, Icarus, where are you? What region shall I seek for you in? Icarus," he kept saying. He caught sight of feathers in the waves and cursed his own arts and buried the body in a tomb, and the land is called Icaria, the name of the one buried there.